in the new movie that's just out at the moment. It's already been in the pictures, but it's now on DVD and Sky and all the rest of it, called Sunshine on Leith, and a brilliant, brilliant film. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Anyway, talking of theatre and musical and dancing and all that sort of thing, I'm very pleased to welcome a whole studio full of people. We welcome Becky, Thomas and Patrick, and lurking in the background is Sinead and Sarah, all from the Queen's Theatre. We're here to talk about paper plays. Let's start with you, Patrick. Let's start because you're the director of the show. What is Paper Planes and what is it?
Okay, so yeah, Paper Planes. I'm director. I'm one of the writer. Four of us have written it.
Hang on. I got this something wrong there. What, your microphone's not working. It was working just now, wasn't it? Wasn't it working just now?
Yeah.
Hang on. What's happened there then? Oh dear, we've broken it already. Say that again then. Oh no, I'll tell you what. Move Thomas's around. That'd be better. Try that one.
Do you want to scoot up next to me, Patrick?
Yeah. Come on.
Okay.
That just died on us.
Is this better?
Yeah, that's better. It's, right.
Okay, so Paper Planes is a brand new musical drama, and it tells the story of a World War One pilot called William Leif Robinson.
Yeah.
And William Leif Robinson was the first pilot who shot down a Zeppelin over London in World War One, and he won the Victoria Cross. London had about 18 months of these Zeppelin raids. It was the first time ever there was total warfare. It was real fear and panic, and the real fear and panic was that they couldn't shoot the things down, and they were flying too high, and they actually had to invent a new type of incendiary bullet to shoot it down. And he won a Victoria Cross. He then became an absolute hero and celebrity, and was massive for the propaganda campaign in World War One.
There's a lovely photograph of standing next to the wreckage, isn't there? There was three pilots at the time, I think. I can't remember the name of the other two.
There was Tempest and Sarah, yeah.
That's
the one, also
yeah,
featured.
Yeah, William Sarah, I think. Yeah, because I put a film together about 5-6 years ago called Fighter Station, which tells the whole story of RAF Orgy. So I'm familiar with your material, dear boy, and it is a wonderful, wonderful story. And a story that needs to be told. So how did that story then get transformed into this year's community play?
Okay, so as I said, myself and three other writers have written the piece. So what we did is we just started researching William Leif Robinson's life. A lot of it, there's books written on him, and a lot of the information came from his own words. He wrote a lot of letters home to his mum. And we researched these, and then we just started kind of putting it together to make a drama out of it. And the really interesting thing about William Leif Robinson's life is that it is very, very dramatic. He died aged 23, tragically, the Spanish flu post the war. So interestingly, we found it perfectly translates to a piece of theatre on the stage. But also what we did then is we looked at the story as it exists and then began to add some fictional elements to it in order to kind of increase the drama, the tension. So we introduced this character called Lily, who Becky's here today is playing it. And Lily is an East End bar girl and very working class. And Leif Robinson was from a upper middle class or upper class family. So they fall in love, and then we have the real tension of a class divide, which is you have a working class girl and an upper middle class pilot falling in love with each other, which at that time, wouldn't have been thought upon as a really good thing, you know, so which adds more tension to the drama.
Okay, so is this a play, or is it a play with music, or a musical?
It's a musical drama, yeah.
A musical drama, so there's dialogue, and it's not just continuous music. Okay.
Yeah, there's dialogue as well, yeah.
Okay, and how's it going? Where are we?
Yeah, we're really near the end now. We open scarily this day next week.
Right.
So we had our last run last night before we went to the theatre for the tech, and it's looking really, really well. It's really exciting. It's a massive cast. We've got over 60 performers in the show, so you can imagine, you know, 60 performers on stage singing out real big epic numbers. It's really, really lovely to hear and lovely to watch.
Okay, let's turn to Thomas next year. Thomas, how did you get involved with Paper Planes?
Well, actually, Becky and I were in a show beforehand. We were doing another community show, and then she auditioned for Paper Planes and then heard that they were still looking for a leading male role. So she passed on my contact details to Patrick, and he called me out of the blue and was like, "So I'm doing this show. Would you like to come down and audition?" And I just thought, yeah, okay, why not? Turned up for the audition, did a song and a monologue there, read through some parts of the script, and then what I read of the script, there was the bit, I still remember it really clearly, it was a part between myself and Harold, who is William Leif Robinson's brother, and it's a bit about how Leif Robinson has decided he doesn't want to go into the army and he wants to go off to become a pilot.
Yeah.
And just everything that I read in that whole duologue section was... It really, really got me interested into the show. And Patrick offered me the lead on the spot there, and I just could not refuse because everything I had read so far just... I can't explain how I felt. I just had such a good feeling about the show, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it, and I'm so glad that I am part of it now. It's turned out to be an incredible experience. I've met some fantastic people. All 60 of the cast are amazing people who welcomed me into their community with open arms, and it's been an absolute privilege to be working with all of them, and I honestly cannot wait to get on stage with all of them next week and actually perform this show.
Brilliant. You've got a moustache going on.
I've been attempting to grow a moustache.
Is that the RAF moustache coming on there?
Well, Patrick said to us that he wanted some moustaches, and when I heard this, I laughed because I can't grow facial hair.
Right. Okay.
This is 4 weeks.
I can't grow hair on the top of my head today.
Yes, so luckily, after 4 weeks, a moustache decided to actually show through.
Okay, just wind back a bit there. You did a play before. Any more experience before that, or is this something that the play you did before that was your first?
Well, I've been working professionally in acting for a few years now here in the UK. I moved here when I was 18,
okay,
after living in Cyprus. Quite similar to William Leif Robinson, actually, who grew up abroad and then moved to the UK.
Okay, right.
So... and then I started to get some acting work here, and I've done some professional work as well, touring the country. I've done theatres and various different things. And I'm also doing another show at the same time as well, which performs out in Kent next month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, acting has just always been a very, very big part of my life.
Good. Push that microphone to that.
I will do, yes.
So the very lovely Becky. Good
there you are, Becky.
Becky.
Hello.
Was it Bex? What do we say, Bex or Becky?
Oh, Eva's fine.
Right. Tell me your journey to get to Paper Planes.
Well, my friend Martin recommended to go for the audition because I hadn't heard about it. And I showed up, and I remember that on the form it said, okay, if you can't make it to the first rehearsal, you can't be there. And the show that myself and Thomas were in previously, our performance night was that show, and I was panicking so much, and I was like, should I leave? Should I stay? Should I leave? Should I stay?
Should I go?
Yeah. Exactly. But I went up to the desk, and they were absolutely fine about it, which was good. And yeah, it was an amazing experience, the audition process. And a lot of the people that were in my audition are really good friends of mine now. So, and it's amazing to be working alongside them.
So what else have you done? Are you professional? Are you semi-professional or amateur, or what are you?
I've worked professionally in the West End when I was younger. I did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And then I did Billy Elliot the musical for 2.5 years, which
was
really cool.
Yeah,
I made amazing friends there that I still talk to in regular contact, which is great. And then I trained at London Studio Centre for 3 years doing dance. And then I moved to Paris for 6 months to work in Disneyland and came back and had the privilege of landing a lead role at Queen's Theatre, which I'm honoured to
brilliant.
Do.
But if I'm right in saying, Patrick, it's a community play, so anybody could have had the chance to audition, am I right?
Yeah, it's really a mixed ability cast, and it's really, it was open to anybody to audition. You know, we had over 100 people come in audition, and we offered a place to over 60 people. Yeah, so it's the cast ranged from age 7 up to 75.
Wow, that is big. A lot of people to direct. Right, just take a break and we'll be back in a moment and talk some more Paper Planes.
What's happening in Brentwood? Where are those police vans going? When will those roadworks ever end? Will we ever get a new cinema on that site? Most local news doesn't appear on TV, online or in the national press. For that, you need a quality local newspaper. The Brentwood Gazette, full of features, stories, events, tweets, listings and all the things important to you. The Brentwood Gazette is written for Brentwood people and read by 54,000 residents every week. The Brentwood Gazette, for news and views you won't find anywhere else.
Phoenix FM Breakfast with Northwood, the proper property people. Nutritionally balanced, locally flavoured, with guest interviews, latest news and a feast of great music. Waking up Brentwood and Billericay. 7 till 10 every weekday morning. Wake up and turn it on. The Phoenix FM Breakfast Show with Northwood, the proper property people.
Phoenix FM Travel News, in association with the Beaches Care and Nursing Home, London Road, Brentwood.
Yeah, yet again, the villain of the piece is the M25 anti-clockwise between Brook Street and up to Junction 27. Two lanes are closed, queuing traffic anti-clockwise because of an accident involving two lorries and two cars and recovery work. Matrix sign set to 50 miles an hour, but looking at the cameras, it doesn't look too bad, which is confusing. Anyway, the A1090, London Road, Purfleet, both ways at Botany Way, the level crossing is either stuck up or stuck down. It means you can't go through it. It's closed in both directions. Southend Arterial 127, been an accident, Nevedon flyover. That is causing problems there as well. Very slow as you go crossing the bridge tonight or this afternoon. It will take you a good 30 minutes to get from halfway from Junction 29 roundabout to between 29 and 2030. That's where the back of the queue will start. Slow in Colchester and slow around Van Diemen's Way in Chelmsford as well. Otherwise, the planes, the trains and everything else are working beautifully.
The Beaches Care and Nursing Home, London Road, Brentwood. Exceptional care, exceptionally affordable.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Talking to Bex and Thomas and Patrick, and in the background, who haven't said a word yet, is Sinead and Sarah. They're busy tweeting and doing all sorts of stuff like that. We're talking about paper planes. Patrick, how difficult is it to direct and push forward and push around 70 people, some of them very, well, no experience whatsoever?
Yeah, it can be a difficult process at times because of the amount of people, you know, 60-odd people in the cast. For me, what's really important is that every actor in the show knows what their function is in a scene, what they're doing in the part, what the whole thing is about. And really, really, it's about understanding the story, understanding the characters, understanding the scene that they're in. So a lot of time is spent kind of really educating them, you know, teaching them about the history of the William Leif Robinson story and the context of World War One. So a lot of it is teaching them, getting them to understand, trying to get them to do their own research, you know, in order to play it truthfully. And I think, you know, in order to deliver the story, we've got to deliver it in a real honest, truthful way. And, you know, everyone's got to get their mindset into what it was like living in World War One in London at the time. There's one scene in it we were doing, and it's where a newspaper seller comes in and put a list up on the wall, a list of the dead, and they go and these women go and look and see who's on the list. And the first time they did it, they just called out the names as if there was no connection to them. They're not real people. And we just spent a bit of time, you know, trying to connect those people to people in their lives and imagine, well, all those people on the list were women's sons, husbands, you know, brothers. And when everyone kind of stopped and really thought about it and went, you know, and made these names real, and we delivered the scene again, suddenly the atmosphere in the room really, really changed, and it really had real pathos, and it really pulled on the heartstrings, you know.
Absolutely, without giving the end away, when does the play end time-wise?
In 1918,
because there was another play which was performed at the Queen's Anne in London, and called Wing and a Prayer. I don't know if you heard of that. Another group did it, but that covered Hornchurch right up until the end of the Second World War.
Yeah,
it just deals with the
First World War. Yeah, really, very much William Leif Robinson. So it really, what we're trying to do is tell his life story. We begin it in India in 1905, you know, where he grew up in India in South Cork, and then we move it on through right to 1918.
Okay, Thomas.
Yes.
Judging by your moustache, you're roughly the, you're roughly the same age as William would have been.
I am 22 years old. Yeah,
exactly. Could you imagine yourself doing what he did at your age in those times? I suppose really, they didn't have any choice. But I could never. I've often asked this question: Could our generation have done what they did?
Could I have gone up in the air and faced giant zeppelins with nothing but a biplane? Probably not. No. Just the thought of it, and because, well, the way that I do my acting as well, when I'm up there, I'm actually thinking it. I'm imagining the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it scares me genuinely as well when I'm up on this great big pedestal as well and looking down at all these people. And we've got some fantastic puppets to display the plane and the zeppelins and everything. And I genuinely feel terrified. I can't imagine what it would have been like back at the time.
No, it is a daunting prospect. And Bex, what about your character? Tell me about your character. Who is she?
My character is not quite as high class as Thomas, unfortunately, but it's fine. She's an East End bar girl.
Oh, blimey, she's not Mary Poppins, is she?
No, she's not Mary Poppins. She hasn't got one of those bags.
Or Nancy, or...
Or Eliza
she's
Doolittle.
She's more like Nancy. She's or Cat Slater from EastEnders.
Oh, blimey. So. Alfie!
Yeah.
Okay, and is it a tough part for you, or have you enjoyed it?
I am enjoying it. Actually, it's been like an amazing experience for me, like really educational. Patrick's really helped me because I've never really had that sort of acting experience because obviously I went to a dance college. So I feel like I'm learning a lot. But also, I'm not really that bullshit. So I'm really out of my comfort zone, which is quite exciting. I mean, it's really challenging, but it's a really exciting process for me, so... Yeah, it's getting there.
It's a difficult thing getting people to come to theatre these days. Lots and lots of amateur groups finding it very tough getting people to come because there's so much alternative stuff to do these days. You know, all the social media people do and TV and satellites and cinemas, etc. But I think you're going to sell out well on this one, aren't you?
Well, we hope so. You know, I think it's a wonderful story. You know, he's a forgotten hero, and it's a real epic piece of theatre. It's got everything. It's got real drama. It's got real tragedy. It's got love story. It's got a comedy, you know. And I think it's really going to move people. And I think the difference about, you know, watching some TV or watching a film, you know, to come to a theatre, you know, a theatre is, it's all about human interaction, you know. And the music is just beautiful in it. And, you know, last night people came to watch the run and everybody was really moved by the end of it. You know, it really, really changed people. And it's an old phrase by a guy called Alfred Jarry who did it, Ubu Roy, which is like about audiences, which is like people enter the theatre as individuals and exit as an audience because they've had that
collective
experience. And I really think people will exit this theatre after watching Paper Planes really, really moved. And it's really special and they've been part of something. And it's only running for 5 nights, you know. And I think I'd say to people out there, you know, if you're interested in stories, if you're interested in World War One, you know, if you're interested in theatre, but if you want to come and really experience something really, really moving, then come and watch Paper Planes, because it really, really is. This story is about a community of people who lived 100 years ago, and we've got a community of people in 2014 all telling that story. You know, you've got kids, you've got older people, you've got the pilots who are the same age as the pilots who you know, risked their lives, you know, and some very, very tragically. And it's a human story, and I think everybody will be really moved by it. You know, I'm really looking forward to it all coming together. And I think, as Thomas said, there's loads of theatrical moments. We're using lots of puppetry, you know, and loads of different theatrical devices, because the real difficult thing is how do you stage flight on stage?
And exactly, yeah.
And I think what we've done, you know, is really beautiful to look at, you know, and I think it's a... people will really, really have a good night out, you know. And also linking to the show, we do have a very big exhibition in the theatre at the same time. On the first 3 nights, we have a real life-size World War One plane in the foyer. We have an exhibition by Richard Smith, who's just written a book on
the three pilots. Smith, yeah.
So there's loads for everybody, you know. And I think what we're transforming our bar into an East End boozer. We're going to have a kind of pianist playing the old standards. So I think it's really going to be a great night out, you know. I just think it's something that anyone who will come will leave that theatre going, well, I think it was well worth it.
Absolutely. Just what we haven't touched on really is the music. Tell me the story of the music.
Okay, so the music is written by a guy called Stephen Markwick. It's all original music, and it's a mix really of musical theatre numbers, but also a lot of the story is set in an East End kind of pub or kind of an East End kind of Category 4 music hall. So some of the music is kind of very much... kind of old standard music hall, kind of knees up Mother Brown kind of type bit. You know. And I think it's, you know, what we felt with the music, it's really important that it is a sad and tragic story, but there's also wonderful moments of kind of beauty. You know, when Leif goes up above the clouds for the first time, you know, it's absolutely beautiful, the things that he can see down below him. It was, you know, because flight was a brand new thing. You know, nowadays we're all very used to getting up in the air,
Yeah.
But imagine being somebody going up there for the very, very first time and up above the clouds and the things that he sees, you know, and the freedom of, you know. So the music really is beautiful, it's epic, it's dramatic, you know, and the end of Act One where he takes down the Zeppelin, you know, that's a big, big challenge.
Oh, you've spoilt it now.
So, well, I think everyone knows that's what he did, or if you don't. But, you know, that's the big challenge. And I think, again, we've decided to tell that end of Act One, him taking down the Zeppelin, entirely musically, you know, and I think musical theatre really offers us kind of, for all the world, like an element or a function to really enhance the storytelling, you know, and it really, really is epic.
Right. You two, in your best acting, tell us where, when, how much, box office numbers, everything. Even though I've got a commercial coming up, I think, yes, telling us all about it very soon.
Right. So it opens on the 30th of July and it runs until the 2nd of August.
And we have a matinee on the 2nd of August, which is going to be incredible.
Yeah, so tickets range between £10 to £15, depending on seating arrangements. And
you can book via Facebook on Queen's Theatre. Well, you can look at Facebook, Queen's Theatre. Twitter is at Queen's Theatre H. Also, you can book online at queens-theatre.co.uk, or you can phone up on 01708 443 333.
And are you ready? You're ready. I know I meant to ask you. Where have you been rehearsing? Where's rehearsal studios for you?
We have been very, very lucky that Langton's Academy have offered us their school hall for the entire rehearsal process. They've been very, very kind. And also, 200 children from Langton's Academy have decorated the most wonderful paper planes that are going to be hanging in our foyer space during the run of the show. So thanks a million to them.
Thank you very much for all of you coming in. Really appreciate it. And all I can say is break a leg.
Thank you.
Hope
thank
it really,
you.
Really goes well. Tragically,
yeah,
I'm going to be away. I can't go. And I want to go. And I can't. So I'm really sorry. Yeah, I'm away. Sorry. But I'll wish you luck. Are you going to video it? Obviously?
We'll video. We'll forgive
yes,
you.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Becky, Thomas, Patrick, thank you very much. Indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Sarah, you were, well, quiet, that's all I can say. We'll see you soon. Thank you very much indeed. Let's do this.
Hitting the headlines first for your area. This is Phoenix FM.